Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. This is Beyond a Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the church. We're going to mend it. Get on. Welcome to the fastest 15 or 20 in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. That's Mark Garagus over there and special guest, Dr. Drew Pinsky, sitting in for the Carolla Drinks Barbecue Extravaganza.
Why do we only do this once a year?
Apparently, this is our tradition.
This is the tradition.
Number one. And number two, at least you started off with not hammering Adam for best hour in the universe, because you get very butthurt when it's
I'm fine with it. It is the best hour of the universe.
It but it was like, we all remember K-Rock, and back in the day, they would say world famous K-Rock.
Famous K-Rock, and it was in the back, across from the Hilton. And remember that dump?
Yes, I do.
You can put world famous or best hour in front of any title, and you know, it's called artistic liberty, I think.
Adam never broadcast from that shithole. He broadcast from the Burbank building that was over Dalt, the restaurant. Yeah.
So yeah. I always tell people, and I don't know if they believe me, but Drew can back me up. The amount of cocaine on that board was like nothing I've ever seen.
Yeah, if you sneeze, there'd be a cloud.
Yeah. I mean, it was like it was a time. I mean, that was when Rodney was in his heyday. That was when.
Let me name some people. Sam Fries.
Oh, my God.
John Logic.
Right.
Katie Manor. April Whitney.
The Swedish Eagle.
April Whitney.
Poor Man.
I hadn't thought about Poor Man was there. Also, how about Woodside?
Woodside was a little early. Yeah, he did the overnight tour when we were there at the beginning. And
Well, you know, it was I was talking about the crazy punk rock songs I would hear coming out of K-Rock back in the day. And one of the songs was a song that was dedicated to Buffy from Family Affair, the actress who actually OD'd at 18. It was a song. It was like, Buffy did OD. Buffy. It was done to the soundtrack of Family Affair. But they were singing about an 18-year-old girl who OD'd.
Yeah. Well,
wasn't even a good song. And they'd play all these crazy songs. And someone said, well, how did they do that? Like, formatically. And it's like, anyone could come in, any DJ, and just play whatever song they wanted to play.
That was their claim to fame. Yeah.
And Mike Evans, Richard Blade.
Right. We used to bring over to the Palace all of those artists. I mean, it was.
Do they know what you mean when you say the Palace? Does everyone understand?
The Perkins Palace, which was quite a. It was the Raymond Theater.
Is that a 1,000-seater?
1,800 seats, but it was like 1,000 downstairs, and then if we'd open up the balcony. But I always like to say we started Oingo Boingo on Halloween there.
Yep.
We did Missing Persons there. We did the Go Go's.
The Cars.
The Cars, Pretenders. I mean, you can go through it. We did What's Her Name, who I can't remember, besides the waitresses. What was the name of the woman I'd love if you? But Romeo Void.
Oh,
love you better if we slept together. That Gary should find a picture of her.
That's wild.
I saw,
she's ahead of her time.
I saw the Plasmatics there.
That was my favorite.
Band.
I told you the story. We did four shows, and the fourth show was not selling.
Now, I saw the Plasmatics there when I was 17 and a half. I didn't know
Were you in the mosh pit?
Yeah, we were right down in the mosh pit.
So I had a partner, Jim Perkins. It was the brother of Mark, and he had an old Lincoln. And so we could not sell tickets for the fourth show. So we said Wendy famously would blow stuff up. So we said we're going to blow up the Lincoln.
This was a famous night. It was a very famous night.
The mosh pit was about, from the floor of the mosh pit to the top of the stage, about 5 feet.
Right.
I literally had my chin resting on the stage.
When it blew up?
In the front of the mosh pit when they blew it up.
It was unbelievable. And the fire marshal was in my face like you wouldn't believe. And then that followed up by Susie and the Banshees where somebody, you know, they used to spit in the mosh pit. I don't know if you remember that. They would spit on you. She wasn't buying what they were selling. And the guitarist, as I remember, took the guitar and just wailed on some guy in the mosh pit. Mm-hmm. They arrested him right off stage.
Before the days of Will Smith.
Wendy O and the Plasmatics, they started with chainsawing a guitar in half.
Correct.
Before they blew up the Lincoln. And they chainsawed this guitar in half, and then they threw him into the audience. And my buddy Ray grabbed it, but so did another guy in the mosh pit. And then they started fighting in the mosh pit about, you know, it's like a foul ball. going into the stands and two dads going after it.
I would not want to take on Ray with that.
And neither one would let it go, and it turned into a thing, and the security came down.
Oh, my security and, we had. There was, you remember there was a side door by the mosh pit, but the side door, there was a giant, like a wall, a cinder block wall. Mm. These guys used to throw people head first if they got too wild in the mosh pit into the cement wall. I mean, I was pre-lawyer days. I was still in law school. I wasn't worried, I guess, about the potential liability.
They, the good old days. They took them out. Still both clinging to the
did Ray get it eventually?
A guitar, yeah.
Did Ray
and
get
then,
it?
Yeah. And then later, oh no, I think he didn't get it, but I think the security beat him down or something. Mm-hmm. And then later, after the show, I was out in the parking lot. So as I recall, the parking lot, if you face the building, was to the left.
Yes.
Correct.
And
still
once
there.
They,
oh, no, now they built condos.
They built condos.
Yeah, once they blew up the Lincoln, they dragged it out
right,
into the parking lot.
Right, because the stage door would go right from the alley into the parking lot.
So after the show, I was in the Lincoln trying to get the steering wheel off, which had been loosened and broken, but it was still kind of hanging on, and I was sort of fighting with it. And security was telling me to get the fuck away from the Lincoln, and I was like, you blew it up. It's no good to anybody anymore. And it was an old school suicide door.
Yeah.
Kennedy
I want to say 64. It was Jim's. It was his pride and joy. But,
oh, my gosh. Yeah, you need to sell tickets.
We sold all the tickets. We announced it, and we had Jim on the air in the morning, and by the afternoon, we'd sold every ticket.
Mm-hmm. I still don't know what the technique was, because Wendy O, of course, like, had the big sticks of dynamite and lit them and held it overhead, but it looked a little Wile E. Coyote to me. And I had a kind of mechanical mind. I was like, all right.
Even at 17 and a half, Adam was pragmatic.
Yeah, I was just like,
it's kind of funny that the three of us are here reminiscing about this. I did not know Adam then.
I didn't. I didn't know Adam until you were 30.
We had, but
Drew and I had played high school football against
each other. A few years before.
Sure. Yeah. Yep.
My band would have been called the Pragmatics.
I thought it was the Crystal Brainiacs.
I mean, this amp is using
that's
up
what we're for
kilowatts. So she held the, and I was sitting there thinking, all right, what they've done is they've loosened all the body parts, they put it back together with tie wire, and they kind of set it there, you know, and they're going to use compressed air or something to do it. Fucking thing blew up.
I mean, it was real.
Glass was flying. My ears were ringing. I stood right on the edge of the stage staring at it, thinking, well, they've done something.
They thought there was some kind of protection. Brett over here, who's shout out to Brett, who does all of our research. He can do the number of torts that could be involved in that blowing that thing up.
Ears ringing, like face glass flying everywhere.
Isn't life funny, though, that you know we all three were like orbiting and then end up here?
And then end up here.
Okay, boomer.
Well, first topic I wanted to get into is the whole Haitians whipping thing, which I'm very incensed about because of the symbolism of it. Now, initially, we didn't like the symbolism of the guy on the horse whipping the people of color, so it was very symbolic. But that's not my beef. My beef is...
Yeah, right. For those of you who, for a second, thought what happened to Adam.
First things first. The guy who took the picture said they weren't whipping
anyone.
That's
not what was happening.
Very discernible.
Yeah.
Very easily. But all the news outlets and all the yentas on The View and everything, they just took it. And it's as if those guys got on their horse, rode it to Hades, and started beating up villagers with whips. It was clear there's a context. You'd hear people who knew horses going, no, those are split reins. Those are what those guys use. That's how they wheeled the horse around, blah, blah, blah. And in the face of zero evidence, I didn't see any pictures of anyone with any strap marks on their backs or anyone having to be helicoptered out or anything. They had nothing.
Nobody complained.
But they just went to the news media, and they're all appalled because we live in a systemically racist country. And then Biden, who's just turned into a world-class buffoon, and he's not his whole, I'm going to unite everyone. He just grabs a hot mic and starts talking about, well, Gary Gary, you probably have.
He fell down.
Somewhere.
By the way, he fell down this morning.
Pretty severely off a bike. I told
yeah,
that.
I can put that up in a second. Yeah,
yeah.
No problem.
And then he goes out there and throws everyone on in Border Patrol under the bus and starts talking about how ugly this is and what a bad look it is and how it affects the world and blah,
we're
going to
investigate.
Oh, they're going to investigate. And then they do their investigation and they come up with nothing. And then all the news outlets that were screaming for the investigation are now
silent.
Now there's no follow-up to all their stories.
But we're still going to discipline these guys.
Yeah, they have been.
I can play you his. I can play you his original comments from September 2021 if you'd like.
Yes, let's listen to how our adult in the room, Great Uniter, handled this non-issue.
ABC, Rachel Scott.
Thank you, Mr. President. You said on the campaign trail that you were going to restore the moral standing of the U.S., that you were going to immediately end Trump's assault on the dignity of immigrant communities. Given what we saw at the border this week, have you failed in that promise? And this is happening under your watch. Do you take responsibility for the chaos that's unfolding?
Of course I take responsibility. I'm president, but it was horrible what to see, as you saw. To see people treated like they did, horses barely running them over, people being strapped, it's outrageous. I promise you, those people will pay. They will be, an investigation underway now, and there will be consequences. Well, there will be consequences.
He's right. They're going to pay.
It's an embarrassment.
Whether they did it or not.
It's an embarrassment.
They're paying.
It's dangerous. It's wrong.
Dangerous. It's wrong.
It sends the wrong message around the world. It sends the wrong message at home.
First
it's
off,
simply
I like the message. Come over here and try to sneak in our country, and you're going to get a fucking whooping by a dude on a horse. That'll slow things down versus we'll give you welfare for life.
You know what's an amazing thing, though? You know, we have gone from the idea that the border and migration is going to heat up the base. Mm. The problem is, I mean, this morning, 57% of all voters
are unhappy
with him. And now the Republicans, because they're brilliant in messaging, have figured out we're gonna gin up this idea that he's Jimmy Carter 2.0. And so what do the Democrats do? Because we're the worst messengers on the planet. We're now trying to rehabilitate Jimmy Carter's reign. I mean, as opposed to Jimmy Carter has rehabilitated himself
as a post-president.
In his post-presidential, he's unparalleled. But why are we trying? There is now a concerted effort to talk about the Jimmy Carter years in some kind of wistful, idyllic, glowing terms. By the way, the similarities to what's happening now are uncanny, which is, everybody is figuring out who's got anybody who sat. By the way, we were doing Panic at Arco. I saw it again this morning.
I saw another.
There's
an Arco station by our house, and there's lines of crazed people
who are
they're
fighting.
They're not townies, man.
Yeah.
They're from South Pass or Eastern Pasadena.
The Chevron across the street has breached the $7 mark.
I see.
So
Arco's
$6.25, $6.10, whatever it is.
You save 80 cents a gallon.
Yeah. And it is a free-for-all every morning. Like nothing you've ever – it reminds me of the 70s and Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a line.
Yeah.
So what – just so now we're not done with these guys, and Biden's not going to apologize because we will bring them up on some administration thing. Now, I don't know all the nuts and bolts. You were initially charged with beating Haitians with whips, and they did an investigation, and that's not true. Isn't that the end of the investigation?
No, because there's it's so complex. In a lot of ways, you've got the unions, you've got the civil service protections, you've got the law enforcement protections. I would not be surprised that the person who pays is the U.S. government at a certain point.
Well, that's my question.
Because they're going to get sued?
Yeah.
By who?
Yeah, by the guys who were unfairly targeted.
Okay, so my question is, because Adam and I talked about this on our podcast, and my question was, why doesn't Mark have a division dedicated to this stuff? Because there's a lot of this going on where people are accused of things that have nothing to do with who they are, what they are, what they mean, and there should be consequences.
We have on our website, and this has been the case for years, people kind of will tell their story and write in. It has, in the last I don't know, 6 years, you cannot believe the stories. You can't field all of them. It's you guys get them on calls, but I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, there were at least 10 in the last day about people unfairly, demonstrably, falsely accused. Yeah. It's like drinking out of a fire hose.
It should be a division. You should have a whole office somewhere just doing that work.
I saw Harmeet Dhillon, our friend, on TV the other night, talking about James O'Keefe from Project Veritas. Now the FBI broke into his home and started screaming, you know, all this pre-dawn shit, let me see your hands and all that stuff. He's going to be suing. You got the guy who owned the Mac store, who had Hunter Biden's laptop on it, who was being called a racist or Russian's cat paw by everyone on it. He's suing, and people are already selling.
Your high school classmates coming today. Barrett LePagian from Tin Roof Flats, we survived after several attempts. We finally, and I think the first time, a case in which a private business survived the onslaught of motions to dismiss when suing the government for shutting you down. So he's alive.
So that's the only thing that's going to slow these idiots down going to the set of The View and just calling, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse. He stole a gun from a retarded kid, and his mom drove him on the roof of the car so he could shoot people. Like, someone's got to slow your fucking roll a little bit.
It's interesting because I think, you know, Sarah Palin lost her case, her trial against the New York Times spectacularly. Mm-hmm. It was awful. The judge kind of took it out, announced to the – while the jury's deliberating, announced that I'm going to dismiss it, which jurors said they got by virtue of push notifications. But you notice what's happened? That since then – The Times
gone
has
the other way.
Corrected unbelievably. And by the way, Adam's favorite whipping boy, my ex-employer, your ex-employer, CNN, there's a long-form article today about the course correction over there and what they're doing and what they're, you know, it sounds like Jim Acosta, Brian Seltzer,
Van Jones is stepping up. Van is a reasonable guy, a good guy.
I've interviewed him on my podcast before.
Nice guy. And they're pushing him forward, and he's talking sense. He's talking like a rational person.
So I still can't figure out what the administrative discipline is when you have a case, you examine the case has no merit, and then you go, but we're not done with you. That feels like government at its ugliest. That feels scary, quite frankly, which is they can accuse you of something and then sort of will themselves right, even if they didn't get you for what they accused you of.
Now, malpractice suits. You'll find something.
Well, at a certain point, take a look at how they get these guys. I was reading the other day that somebody, they could not get him on the original charge. So it was one of these D.C. prosecutions where they got them on a mortgage loan application.
Right.
So
or he didn't check the horse out properly. He didn't groom the horse mane properly.
Is it going to be something connected to the event? Or is it going to be just something about a time card that the guy fudged 3 months earlier?
Well, Jen, that's why I always say the biggest problem with going up against the government is when the government wants you, and I've said it a million times, the chief judge of this circuit used to say, there isn't an adult, he said adult male, so you know he's no longer on the bench, but there isn't an adult male walking around who isn't a violation of three USC codes of federal violations.
And is it all because they don't want to have Joe Biden admit he was wrong or whomever admit they were wrong? Because now the reporters are like, hey, the president said this. Does he want to apologize? Well, and they're it's still ongoing.
I think it happens every administration. I mean, I've complained bitterly when my clients are getting hammered by Trump. I've complained bitterly when it was on the opposite with an administration. It's part of the federal, you know, people used to laugh at Trump about deep state. There is something to that.
This is what it feels like now. Yes, yes. So they get to say it's an ongoing investigation and sort of perpetuity, and people will stop asking questions because they'll get bored.
Try to be that guy, though, and try to find other work when the first thing they do when they Google you is that you're under an ongoing investigation. Try to go get a bank loan if you're that guy.
Yeah, I think these guys are going to lawyer up. I think they're going to start suing, and I think it's going to be the only thing that slows people's rolls. And I think, like I said, Kyle Rittenhouse is out doing it. First, it was Nicholas Sandman.
Last week, Gary said...
That's what I was looking at you for. We've been tweeted some stories that I've had trouble substantiating with other sources, but apparently Sandman has decided that at least one of his libel suits he will not settle. He's going to take it to court.
And, well, now he's got a war chest because other people settled. And then last, like I said, the guy who runs the Mac store who had Hunter Biden's lab, that guy's getting death threats. He's got to close his business because all these media types are just saying he's in with Putin. He's cooked it. You know, I mean, you can't just destroy people's lives and expect no retribution at some point.
Well, the reason Harmeet, I think, was on yesterday is in Project Veritas, and full disclosure, I've talked with these guys. I'm not revealing any attorney-client, but it turns out that the original kind of allegation was, besides the fact that they weren't telling the Article 3 judge what the same thing they were telling the magistrates, was that it was a stolen diary.
Right.
Well, now Harmeet says stolen diary. Now it comes out, well... It might have been left at a halfway house after a stint that she had done in a addiction center. And she left it there under a mattress. That's at least what the woman who they're now targeting, this Miss Harris, what they're saying about her.
She's going to have a lawsuit as well because they're saying she stole it. But more so, so the DOJ can just get the FBI to go over to a citizen's house in a pre-dawn raid because he has something the president wants?
Supposedly, there is a bright line between DOJ and the White House.
Not no more.
You know, I
gotta wonder.
I think that's been honored in the breach.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
On the topic, I know we're running out of time. Quick question. I saw an article where somebody blamed Mr. Kaepernick's not having been hired by the Ravens on my friend Nessa, his girlfriend's tweet, which I found to be utterly ridiculous. Please tell me that's so.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's utterly
ridiculous. It's
ridiculous.
The Ravens didn't hire him. That's why they didn't hire him.
Yeah. And by the way, it was not based on a tweet at all.
There's a lot of ink being spilled on Nessa having caused his problem. I looked at it. No way.
By the way, you're as big a fan of Nessa's as I am. Yeah. So,
girlfriend?
Yeah. Teen Mom reunions with her.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We got to get out and hit the Corolla Drinks.
You
got to
earn some money.
We got to
help Mark open up this division, this new office. wrongly accused.
I'll have you guys out as the
face.
Absolutely.
Be on the bus, the benches at the buses.
I will be at Denver Comedy Works South this weekend. Drew, plug for you.
DrDrew.com, please.
And Mark.
Guys, for anybody in the Hamptons, show up to Capri tonight, Naya. There you go.
Nice. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew and Mark Garriga saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes coming soon.
You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers selling in person, too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/truecrime.